This is spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthira. He is reflecting on the symptoms of Kali he is perceiving due to Sri Krishna's disappearance from the world. But he doesn't know yet, 100% sure. He sees the symptoms, and in this chapter he will inquire from his brother Arjuna. The situation of the chapter is that Arjuna has gone to Dwarka, and he has been there for 7 months. Arjuna went to see his dearmost friend, Sri Krishna, after the battle of Kurukshetra had been settled and Krishna had stayed several months in Hastinapur with the Pandavas. Then after some time he went to see what was the next program of the Lord. What was his next project? We do many projects in life. So, okay, what is my friend's project? But after 7 months, he had not returned. And then, simultaneously, Maharaj Yudhishthira started to see symptoms unknown to him. Never in his kingdom such symptoms had appeared. And this reminded him of the prophecy, the prediction made by Sri Narada Muni in the previous chapter, in chapter 13, when his two uncles and his auntie, Mahatma Vidura, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari had left the palace. So Narada Muni told him that you should get ready because the time of the Lord's departure, he told it in a way like a little bit in, not in a direct way, a little bit in an indirect way. But Maharaj Yudhishthira, being a very intelligent personality, he could grasp what Narada Muni was telling him. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So then we will read in this section about the symptoms of the disappearance of the Lord. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira, feeling anxiety for what he was seeing, he shares it with his next brother, Bhima, who was a very powerful personality. And he tells him what he's seeing. More details are given of the symptoms Maharaj Yudhishthira is seeing. Finally, from the middle of the chapter until the end, it is described how Arjuna returns to Hastinapur in an unprecedented state of dejection. He was crying profusely, and he was showing great sadness. He was pale, he had no color, which was totally unusual, being a powerful kshatriya. Never he had been seen like that, not even in Kurukshetra, when he was depressed for he didn't want to kill his superiors nor his family members in the battle. But this was even greater. His dejection was greater than that of Kurukshetra. So then Maharaj Yudhishthira started to inquire from Arjuna what could have happened to him to bring him to such a depression. And he concluded in a question, he concluded that actually only if the Lord had departed from this world, his dearmost friend, could make Arjuna so depressed. There was nothing else that could make Arjuna so depressed. So this is the context and a summary of the chapter, and now we read the verse. This verse is very much related to one of the prominent symptoms of Kali, and it is relevant to consider that the age of Kali starts at the very moment when the Lord departs. So this is very relevant. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers and mothers and sons, and between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Sounds familiar, this? Is this? That? Of course, in the community of devotees, if we follow proper Vaishnava Sadachar, then we are protected. But when we forget that we have taken the vow of being a servant of the Lord, then we may behave again influenced by the symptoms of Kali. Srila Prabhupada's purport: a conditioned living being is endowed with four principles of malpractice. In the college we have academic malpractice. We tell students not to incur in academic malpractice. There are not many here. There are few Bhaktisastri and few, we don't know where, or we imagine where. But academic malpractice means plagiarism. Plagiarism or collusion. That is to take the intellectual property of someone else and not acknowledging it. Not referencing and saying this, I didn't make up this, but this is coming from such and such author. So this will be academic malpractice. Srila Prabhupada here is talking about a more general and profound, at the same time, malpractice in life. And these are the four defects of conditioned life. Prabhupada says the four principles of malpractice are errors, insanity, inability, and cheating, the four defects of the conditioned soul. These are signs of imperfection, and out of the four, the propensity to cheat others is most prominent. And this cheating practice is there in the conditioned souls, because the conditioned souls are primarily in the material world imbued with an unnatural desire to lord it over the material world. A living being in his pure state is not conditioned by the laws, because in his pure state he is conscious that a living being is eternally subservient to the Supreme Being, and thus it is always good for him to remain subservient instead of falsely trying to lord it over the property of the Supreme Lord. In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied even if he actually becomes the lord of all that he surveys, which he never becomes. And therefore, he becomes the victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest and most intimate relations. In such an unsatisfactory state of affairs, there is no harmony, even between father and sons, or between husband and wife. But all these contending difficulties can be mitigated by one process, and that is devotional service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that all the influence of the age of Kali, the age of hypocrisy and quarrel, can be mitigated by devotional service. And this is Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's and their servants' mercy to all of us. We can be free from the symptoms of Kali, or at least not being affected, even if the symptoms are around us, and we don't need to participate in them directly by practicing devotional service. Even if sometimes for the service of the Lord we have to do something to counteract the quarrel spirit to fulfill the mission of the Lord, we are protected. We are not affected by the moods of material nature that take place in such quarrel and dissension in of the age of Kali. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction of devotional service of the Lord and nothing else. Maharaj Yudhishthira, having observed the disparities, conjecture the disappearance of the Lord from the earth. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada was comparing the Lord to the sun, Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like the sun. And the sun is delivering, Prabhupada says, a flood of light. When there is a flood of light, there cannot be darkness. We can become free from fear, because we can see things very clearly. So during the period when the Lord Shri Krishna was present on the planet Earth, everything was completely auspicious, as we read in previous chapters. For example, when Srimati Kunti Devi was offering prayers and expressing appreciation for all the beauties, everything so beautiful that the Lord had given them, everything so prosperous, opulent, beautiful, due to the presence of the Lord. But now everything seemed to become dark, as it happens after sunset. So Maharaj Yudhishthira was understanding this is the Lord must have disappeared. And if we look at the chapter in the context of the first canto in relation to the whole Bhagavatam, any thoughts about why this chapter is here? The disappearance of the Lord is in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, when normally should be at the end, and indeed it is at the end in the 11th canto in more detail, but here it is described in the beginning. How come? If the Bhagavatam is about Krishna and starting with such sad news.
And because there is no difference between Bhagavatam and Krishna, so there's the point here later, Krishna is appears, Bhagavatam appears.
Very good. So the Srimad Bhagavatam appears when Krishna disappears. That's one point of connection. Any other points of connection?
Yeah, it's also to establish it's like the beginning of Kali Yuga, and it's to establish the necessity for Srimad Bhagavatam.
Very good. It is to establish the necessity of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is spoken in the beginning, it's spoken in the beginning of Kali Yuga for the benefit of the people of Kali Yuga. And as Dinadayal Prabhu pointed out, it is Krishna himself who appears to give light and to give shelter to the people of Kali who want to transcend or to protect themselves from the symptoms of Kali, which we are reading in this chapter. Any other thoughts? That people were free?
I think you just said that just after they left the planet, and I just think I could see all these symptoms before people having.
Yeah, I mean, the four principles of malpractice, this is for every conditioned soul. So it's not that in previous ages there may not be those tendencies, may be there, but because people follow Dharma, then they are protected from them. And in the age of Kali, because people tend to cheat, especially cheating of those malpractices, cheating is the main one. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, obviously, all the conditioned nature of the material world is intensely experienced in the age of Kali, as opposed to other ages where people will conduct themselves in according to sadhachar, to good behavior. Generally speaking, of course, there were also asuras in some places in the universe. Otherwise, the material world will not be the material world. So that conditioned nature is there always. But it is checked through Dharma. Is that okay? Any other thoughts on the topic? The Bhagavatam and the disappearance of the Lord in the context of the first canto of the Bhagavatam?
So it seems that sometimes there's a statement that devotion service is transcendental to mundane Bhagavatam, but that sometimes we take that too lightly.
I didn't fully get it. The devotional service is transcendental.
Sometimes we hear Srila Prabhupada, and we speak out about mundane dharma or devotees in an immature state. Sometimes maybe they speak easily about, but we are devotees and we are not so much involved or concerned with dharma. But then if we are not careful, then we can easily become victimized by the symptoms of dharma.
Okay, so it's a warning for devotees who are studying the Bhagavatam so that we don't become victimized by the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Even if we think, oh, I'm following Dharma, it's fine. We can be victimized at any moment. Is that your point? We may need another mic, then we will save time so devotees can hear, those who are listening on the web or those who are listening in the kitchen. Also, this is an introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. So naturally, all the main points of the Bhagavatam are mentioned. And the disappearance is briefly mentioned because the Bhagavatam was spoken after the disappearance of Lord Krishna. We will see in next chapter how the Pandavas retired. Then Maharaj Parikshit becomes the ruler. Then he is cursed. So there is a historical development of how the Bhagavatam came to appear among us historically. So therefore, this is another point, another consideration. And this verse is very important because describes a very important issue in the age of Kali, which is war. There is practically no day in the world where there is no bloodshed in the world. Not just in terms of crime, in terms of war. So many cases of violence take place in the world. If we will be able to reproduce all of them, will become horrified. Actually, we will become traumatized. Can you imagine, like, seeing all the violence that is taking place at this very same time all over the world? What to speak of threat of violence, like, you know, we have in North Korea threatening. People are taking, many people taking, this is a joke. Maybe a joke, but we don't know. It's a joke, this little fellow, 26-year-old man, threatening, I'm going to throw you weapons. He has, in his mind, he has his reasons. He felt invaded, but he said, you have the right to have weapons. Why cannot have weapons? And you destroyed my country. If you dare to throw one, just one shot, we're going to throw nuclear weapons. Enough is enough. This is what they are talking in those terms. This is the rhetoric they say. Some say this is the rhetoric, may not be serious, but many politicians are taking it seriously. So that danger is there due to the age of Kali. And here it is described that Maharaj Yudhishthira saw that even among family members, among friends, such quarrel was taking place in the beginning of the age of Kali, immediately after the departure of the Lord. What to speak of now, after more than 5,000 years of this event? Therefore, we see so much quarrel. This is very relevant to us, and this should be applied within our communities. What I mean that should be applied, not the quarrel, but the counteraction of the quarrel, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, through devotional service. How the counteraction of the quarrel should be performed? Prabhupada says, through devotional service. And devotional service is very much based on Vaishnava Seva, serving Vaishnavas, cooperating with Vaishnavas. This was Srila Prabhupada's instruction at the end. I meant prominent instruction at the end. At his disappearance, he knew, even sometimes he complained, you started to quarrel even when I'm here. In one occasion, Prabhupada made such a statement. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur departed this world, Prabhupada said, my god brothers started to quarrel. But when devotees will quarrel, Prabhupada will say, but you have started to quarrel even in my presence. Therefore, Prabhupada warned us, do not fight among yourselves. The goddess of fortune is present within a family in which husband and wife do not quarrel. Similarly, the goddess of fortune is present within a community where its members do not quarrel. And if there is a little quarrel, it's a little loving quarrel. Should be loving quarrel. Being together. Should not be Kurukshetra. Or if it's Kurukshetra, should be Kurukshetra against the forces of Kali. Duryodhana is the representative of Kali, a partial expansion of Kali. There should be cooperation, friendship among devotees. So then we need Vaishnava Sadachar. Therefore, Vaishnava Sadachar is so important, particularly in terms of devotee relationships. Vaishnava Sadachar means, in terms of devotee relationships, that the relationships are based on respect, friendship and affection. And these three are applied according to particular relationships among devotees. Personal relationships. And of course, considerations of seniority, who is the father, the son, or the daughter, who is the mother, who is the guru, who is the disciple, who is the senior, who is the younger. All these things are considered, of course, in a personal way. And these three elements are applied to each and every devotee. Respect, at all levels, respect, friendship, and affection should be there among devotees in order to counteract the influence of Kali. It is not just formality, but it should be cultivated from the heart. Bhakti is the process of the heart. The deepest feelings of the self, of the soul. I want to draw something on the board to illustrate that. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. This is the triangle of devotee relationships. Respect, friendship, and affection, RFA. Here we have the RAC, the Radhadesh Administrative Council, the RGA, Radhadesh General Assembly, and this is the RFA. Almost RGA, so it matches. FG, so we are there. So, relationships, RFA. Relationships among devotees should be based on respect, friendship, and affection. His Holiness Bhaktisarya Maharaj in his Vaishnava Etiquette course will explain that from seniors to juniors predominates affection. Among peers predominates friendship. And from juniors to elders predominates respect. Of course, the other two are included also. So it's not that it's only from a junior to a senior only there is respect, but it's that respect should be imbued with the friendship is there. For example, in the beginning of the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when describing the attitude of the disciple towards the guru, it mentions Sauridam, the word Sauridam, which is in today's verse also, well wishing, from friendship, a vow of friendship from the disciple to the spiritual master should be there. So, and also we saw, for example, how Srila Prabhupada's disciples, especially in his Antya Lila, when Srila Prabhupada was closing his Vapu mission in this world, the devotees were expressing affection towards Srila Prabhupada, asking him to please eat. Prabhupada was not eating. And even sometimes reprimanding him, So according to Kala Deshapata, time, place and person, these principles should be applied among devotees. But these principles, respect, friendship and affection, is meant to predominate in our communities. When this is missing, then Kali is taking influence. Okay, so we will continue now with the reading of the translations of the chapter. Most of it is descriptive of what happened, what did Maharaj Yudhishthira saw, and what he told Bhima. In course of time, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, and pride, etc. So we think it's normal. We think it's normal to shout to someone. We think it's normal to step on somebody's toes. We think it's normal to think ill of others. But it's not normal. It's totally abnormal. But people become accustomed. Maharaj Yudhishthira, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother. Maharaj Yudhishthira said to his younger brother, Bhima Sen, I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes, as the Varshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? From him only, all our kingly opulence, our good wives, lives, progeny, our control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. Later on we will do an exercise on this, how everything we can is due to the mercy of the Lord. We have such a nice community here in Radhadesh. This is the mercy of the Lord. We don't have many such nice communities, at least in ISKCON Europe and America, functioning so well. We have. I travel a lot, and a little bit, and I see many places what's going on, and we are very lucky. This is a special mercy of the Lord. We shouldn't take it for granted. Things may change. Like a country is in peace, and then next year is in war. So if we have it, it's the mercy of the Lord. Whatever we have. Health, wealth, wisdom, friends, good relationships, etc. Just see, O man, with a tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions, and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger. Foreboding, you pronounce? Foreboding, thank you. So it means like announcing danger. In the near future, by deluding our intelligence. I know for those of you who are interested into subtle indications, like what if my left side of the body or the right side of the body shakes, quivers, then what it means, some indications are given. The left side of my body, my thighs, arms and eyes, are all quivering, again and again. I am having heart palpitations due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. I don't know if it's true. Somebody told me that for ladies, it's the other way around. I don't know if it's truth. Is that? It's the other way around. So for ladies, will be if the right side quivers, then it's inauspicious. In the men, when the left side quivers, it's inauspicious. One of the guests yesterday asked me about homosexuality. I don't know how it will be in that case. But anyway, he asked me yesterday. There will be a whole debate. I will not go in there. Just see Obima. How the she jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly. Obima Sen, tiger amongst men, no useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. So the asses are doing Yani Kani Chapapani, right? So that's very inauspicious if something like that happens. We don't see that very often, but it seems that it was happening to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make a void of the whole universe. Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue. The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. The rays of the sun are declining. The rays of the sun are declining, and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen? The calves do not suck the teats of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing, crying, tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing grounds. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines, and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. I think that all these earthly disturbances preclude some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. O Brahmana Shaunaka, while Maharaj Yudhishthira, observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at that time, was thus thinking to himself, Arjuna came back from the city of the Yadus, Dwarka. When he bowed at his feet, the king saw that his dejection was unprecedented. His head was down, and tears glided from his lotus eyes. Seeing Arjuna pale due to heartfelt anxieties, the king, remembering the indications of the sage Narada, questioned him in the midst of friends. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, "My dear brother, please tell me whether our friends and relatives, such as Madhu, Bhoja, Dasharha, Arha, Satvata, Andhaka, and the members of the Yadu family are all passing their days in happiness. Is my respectable grandfather Shurasena in a happy mood? And are my maternal uncle and his younger brothers all doing well? His seven wives, headed by Devaki, are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughters and daughters-in-law all happy? Urasena's sons, Kamsa and his younger brother Devaka, are still living. Is Urasena happy?" I don't think he means, Prabhupada translates Kamsa, but I don't think this is literal meaning. Kamsa was dead at that time, but all the other sons who were not demons, they were living. Is Urasena happy? Are Ridhika and sons, Krita Varma, Akrura, Chayanta, Gada, Sharana, and Shatrajit all happy? How is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of devotees? How is Pradyumna, the great general of the Vrishni family? Is he happy? And is Aniruddha, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, faring well? Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Sushena, Charudeshna, Samba, the son of Jambavati, Rishabha, and all others, along with their sons, all doing well? Also, are Uddhava and others, Nanda, Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls, who are constant companions of the Lord, who are protected by Lord Balaram and Krishna, all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? When we meet each other, sometimes we ask, how are you doing, right? And sometimes, conventionally, we say, I am okay, I'm fine, right? And sometimes, some people, when you say, I'm fine, people suspect, are you sure you are fine? Because it's not normal in the material world to be fine, isn't it? Or we think, oh, you cannot be fine, there must be something wrong, some problem must occur. Of course, in this case, he's asking, due to the separation of all these personalities, Maharaj Yudhishthira is asking about them. Is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends? The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval lord, Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky. Maharaj Yudhishthira continues describing the Yadus, and how they were protected by the Lord, and then ask Arjuna in text 39, "My brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily luster. Is this due to others disrespecting and neglecting you because of your long stay at Dwarka? Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asks, or could you not keep your promise to someone? You are always the protector of the deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the deceased. Could you not give them protection when they approach you for shelter? Have you contacted a woman of impeccable character," that means a brahmana woman, because he was a kshatriya, he shouldn't have a connection with a brahmana woman, meaning an intimate connection, "or have you not properly treated the deserving woman? Or have you been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you? Have you not taken care of all men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Or is it that you are feeling empty all the time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjun, I can think of no other reason for you becoming so dejected." So it's almost the time to stop. But I wanted to do a short exercise, just 5 minutes, and then we will end, take little feedback, and end here. If you can, gather in groups of two or three. We'll take only 5 minutes, but we want to reflect on the mercy of the Lord. Everybody has someone? In text number 9, Maharaj Yudhishthira was expressing thankfulness and appreciation that everything that he had was due to the mercy of the Lord. So, two questions to you in this regard that you are meant to share among yourselves. In what way are you experiencing, or have you experienced, that the Lord is the giver or taker of success? Success comes and goes. Now, there were symptoms for Maharaj Yudhishthira that success was starting to leave them, but they had success due to the presence of Krishna. So in what ways do you experience that? And then also reflect on the results of experiencing this, being conscious of it, or forgetting this, that the Lord is the giver of success. Sometimes we remember this, sometimes we forget. What are the results of that? So two questions. How you experience the Lord as the giver of or taker of success, in what ways? And what happens when we remember this or we forget this? Is it clear? Okay? Yeah? Please start. You may need to think a little bit, but okay, by talking it comes out. Very much. I hope it was useful, this personal sharing experience and realization. I'll take one or two comments, a couple of comments, and then we will close. Any comments you'd like to share about what you discuss?
We were discussing that it's possible to be physically present in a holy place, but if the consciousness is not correct, then the dam is covered.
Okay. So even if we are in the holiest of places...
It's possible to be physically present in a holy dam, but if the consciousness is not correct, then the dam is covered. We don't experience the dam.
If there's no sense of appreciation, so you're kind of... You don't really experience the qualities of being in a presence of Krishna.
So even in the best of the conditions, unless we have a sense of gratitude and appreciation, we will not see it. That's the point. Eh?
You don't see it, you don't experience it.
Yeah. Good. One more point.
Sometimes Krishna gives us many big opportunities or many opportunities to offer practical service for us to get more involved in his service. And sometimes, so this is his mercy for us to become committed. And sometimes he can remove all those opportunities to serve. And then we may feel like shocked and not understanding what's happening. And then it is also his mercy. Maybe he wants us to become, to look inward, inside, and try to understand best all the reasons why we are serving him. So in both cases, it's his mercy. And if we do not remember that it's his mercy, we may feel overjoyed or depressed.
Very good point. Very good. So we will continue next week with the disappearance of the Lord. The next chapter is entitled "The Pandavas Retire Timely." We will have the two sessions for that on Wednesday and Thursday next week. Please, if you can, do the reading. Those who are doing the systematic study of the course, of course, do it. And others, if you like, you can read and you're more prepared for the classes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai.